And welcome back to Uncle Paul's Jazz Closet, your local radio show about jazz drummer Paul Modian. Today, my special guest right in live in the studio is Steve Grover, and he is a drummer and composer who lives in Maine. And I want to thank my sponsor, the Camden Conference, coming up again next February in Camden. So, Steve, we were just talking about some main gigs that you do, and I see your name playing down at Blue, the sort of newish jazz club, or not just jazz, but they have a lot of jazz at there in Portland.
It's run by this great person and her partner, Therese Fraser, and primarily the jazz happens on Saturday night, but occasionally she books it on some other nights, and she's been trying to bring in people.
Yeah, I saw Bill Frisell there last.
Bill Frisell.
He said he might come back, so.
Donnie McCaslin's going to be there at the end of the summer with his group. And they're fresh off this David Bowie thing. And various other people. But she's also been kind of a supporter of the local scene and younger players and so forth. So it's a fun place to play.
Yeah, if anyone has not been down there, you should check it out. Right on Congress Street.
It's right on Congress, I think I'm playing there again the 28th. It's a Saturday, the end of the month. With my own group, and it's an early show. It's a 6 o'clock show, it's a very open environment. You can play what you want, and people are there to listen generally. So
yeah,
it's good.
Yeah,
and it's great for the city, and for some of the local players.
Yeah, we have queued up Deep Blue Z, which is a tune from your first.
It was my first CD.
CD.
Yeah, and this is another trio thing with just guitar and drums and saxophone. And the saxophonist is George Garzon, who's a good friend of mine and. One of the great saxophone players.
Okay, so let's give that a listen.
This goes back, 20 years or more.
Yeah, is it 1996?
Yeah, it came out in 96. I think that we recorded that tune in 94. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
We're back. We just heard Deep Blue Z. You wrote that, Steve, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and Steve Grover on drums, Tony Gabbary on guitar, and George Garzone on tenor saxophone. And this is from your first album that you put out yourself.
Yep.
And you were just telling a great story about, was that the first time you met Paul Modian in Boston? Or
I think that was the first time that I'd met him in person. And it was through Garzone. I won't go into the whole story, but I went down to visit George, and we ended up, picking up Lovano at the Swiss Chalet or something and hanging out and then having dinner before their concert, which was at this place in Central Square called Night Stage. And it was a fairly large club, and it was packed with all these musicians from the Boston community and so forth. And it was a really fun night, memorable night. There was one other time that I met him, and that was in New York. And I was hanging out with this great drummer by the name of Jeff Williams, and he knew Paul quite well. So we went to Iridium to see Paul Blay.
Uh-huh.
With Peacock, Gary Peacock, and your uncle. And so after the show, Jeff went up to speak with him, and we hung out a little bit.
Yeah. But tell us about the sound check. I thought
in
Boston.
The trio with Frizzell and Lovano did a sound check at 90 Stage, and they played Free for about 45 seconds. And then your Uncle Paul said, "Is that enough?" And that was enough.
Yeah.
So it was great.
Next, we have queued up the song Underdog from Steve's, a trio album of Steve's called Breath. And this is with Frank Carlberg on piano, Chris Van Vorst Van Beest on bass, and
me.
That's just a trio on this.
Yeah.
And Steve Grover on drums. Okay, let's give this a listen.
Thank you.
And we're back. And I pressed the wrong button there. So what we really heard is a tune called The World Is Forever Changing from In the G-Zone with Steve Grover on drums and Tim Ray on piano. And who else is playing on that?
A great bassist by the name of Dave Clark.
But a different Dave Clark than the one that plays around here?
That's right.
Yeah. Wanted to talk a little bit about the Maine Jazz Camp, which I think you were you instrumental in starting that, or you ran it for a number of years?
Well, I ran it for a few years, and taught there for 13 years. But it was started by this trombonist by the name of Don Nelson. And originally the camp was in Vassalboro at a private school called Oak Grove Coburn, which doesn't exist anymore. I think it's a police academy or something, on 201 between Augusta and Waterville. Sort of a castle-like structure, and it was there for many, many years. And so after a few years, my friend John Foss took it over, and he ran it for a long time, and then he asked me if I wanted to do it. So I started as the director I was a director for 3 years, I think, 92, 93, and 94, and I changed it from a big band type of thing to more of a small group concept, and 1 week was junior high kids and next week was high school. Mm-hmm. And got some different faculty involved and so on. And then Christine Correa took over in 95 at my request and Frank's request, her husband. And she's been running it ever since. Mm-hmm. And doing a great job. And they started to bring in people from New York to be on the faculty, and mm-hmm. it's a very high-quality thing, and it's very exciting.
And so that Tony Malaby taught there. Is that how you met him? Or?
Yeah, I met him at the camp. I mean, that was 1997, I think. And he was there. That was the last year I did the camp. And then he was there for, I don't know, a few years.
Yeah.
And then I think he came back a couple of times.
Did Angelica Sanchez teach there too, or
Angie never taught there, she would have been great. Yeah. She's a good friend of mine too. So.
Yeah, and then we were talking about some of the other players who played with Paul that you knew as students. So Rebecca Martin, did you know Bill McHenry as a student?
No, I met Bill at Maine Jazz Camp.
At Maine Jazz Camp too, he was teaching.
Yeah.
And Rebecca, you said you did.
Rebecca went to UMA for a year, and that's where I first met her. And then I became a fan.
And she played. She sings on Broadway 4.
Right.
And yes.
And she's done some other albums of standards and and her own original songs, which are fantastic.
Yeah, she's a singer-songwriter. She grew up in Maine, and she's really great. And then Ben Street.
Ben Street, who
plays on Blackbird Suite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And did you meet him as a student? You said you knew him when he was pretty young.
I knew him when he was pretty young. It wasn't as a student. We played a gig.
Yeah.
I think he was 17 or 18. He'd been playing for about a year, and he sounded pretty good then. So that's how we got to know each other.
Yeah. So now we're going to play the tune Underdog, which I pressed the wrong button last time. So
it's the first tune on the album Breath with Frank Carlberg and Chris Van Voorst, Van Bass, the bass player friend of mine. Thank you.
And that was Underdog from Steve Grover's album Breath, with Frank Carlberg on piano and Chris Van Vorst Van Beest on bass. So, Steve, we were just talking about where you've recorded your CDs, and you were telling me about that. Do you want to tell people?
Yeah. It's this wonderful musician by the name of Peter Contramus, who has a studio outside of Boston in Westwood. And he's a great musician, and so he's a jazz musician. And so there's, you know, an unspoken understanding of the needs of jazz musicians when they record. So it's very easy.
Yeah, it's nice quality recordings.
The new one, and just to give you an example, I had him do some mixing last fall, and I would send him lead sheets of the tunes, you know, the actual sheet music. And so he'd get an idea of what was going on. And then when I would point things out, so, you know, his musical knowledge and understanding of sound and so on is great.
Yeah.
So he's become a good friend. So it's
and it's called
that's
Pete's,
where I go.
Pete's Basement Studio.
Yeah, Pete's Basement Studio. It's PBS. I mean, you know, it's easy to get that confused. So
yeah,
Pete's Basement Studio.
And next up, I have queued up As a Dark Star from the new CD Variations.
Yeah.
And you said this is a first take of it, but you were worried about that it was going to take a long time.
Well, there's a lot of things that can go wrong with this tune, and because it's out of tempo, and there's, you know, musical cues, and everybody has to kind of, it's sort of like a puzzle that has to fit together all at the same time, but not exactly with a beat. So I was just thinking about it right before we were recording. I was wondering how long it would take.
Yeah.
And we did the first take, and it came out okay. And then we did another one just to do one, you know. But I ended up using the first take.
Yeah. Okay, so here's As a Dark Star.
As a dark star, dark matter slowly exploding the fat and facets of time. Empty and
And we're back in the studio. And I want to remind you that you're listening to Community Radio, WRFR, Low Power Radio, Rockland, Maine, and streaming online at WRFR.org. So we just heard As a Dark Star from Steve Grover's newest CD, Variations. I wonder if you could talk a little bit, Steve, about your philosophy of teaching. Because, you know, you've had a lot of students over the years, and a lot of them you know, have gone on to music careers. What do you think a key thing is for a student to help them learn jazz?
Well, in my case, it isn't so much to teach jazz per se, although there's, you know, certainly some students that, you know, if they want to do that, that's fine. But it's to bring out whatever it is that they are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it depends, you know, what I'm teaching. I teach a lot of different things. I teach a theory class and arranging and a history class and private students on the drums and occasionally on piano. Ensembles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all a little bit different. You know, with a musical instrument, you have to learn the mechanics of the instrument and technical things, but also you have to learn the tradition of the instrument and who's involved in it and where you fit into that. So I always, you know, when I have private students, one of the first things I do is ask them, you know, what their goals are, you know, what they want to do. And then that helps me. And sometimes they don't know. I mean, you know, with an 18, 19-year-old kid, they might not know, you know. There might be all kinds of reasons, you know, particularly in the places I've been teaching, why they're in music school.
Uh-huh.
And it might be a driving desire, or it might be that their mother said, look, you're going to go to college, you got to do something. You're not going to sit around the house.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you like this music stuff. Maybe you should go to that school in Augusta.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So, and sometimes it takes a while before someone really finds out what they're about. So it depends, you know. I mean, that's something I learned over the years. It wasn't something that I just knew right away when I first started teaching. In fact, last night I had a long conversation with my friend Jeff Coffin, who's a saxophonist.
Uh-huh.
Probably best known for playing with the Dave Matthews Band, but he's originally from Maine. We're good friends. He was involved in the jazz camp for many years. And we were talking about teaching, because he just started teaching a little bit at Vanderbilt in Nashville. And so I was reflecting on, you know, the first time I got into teaching, I backed into it. I mean, I didn't have any particular background or anything. It was, you know, Brad Terry
mm-hmm.
offered me there was this artist-in-residence position for two musicians in Maine. It was an NEA thing, National Endowment for the Arts. And the other guy, this great pianist, Mark Perry, had copped out because he was moving to New York. So Brad asked me if I wanted to do it, and I thought, yeah, well, you know, steady income, that sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll figure the teaching out later, you know. How hard could it be? And that's what happened. You know, I ended up in this artist-in-residence gig at Mount Ararat School. And, you know, I taught a theory class and an ensemble, and I'd go into different classes and try to bring things together, make myself relevant, you know.
How long have you been at University of Maine at Augusta? You've been there for quite a while.
Since the 80s,
right?
You know, mid-80s.
And it has a really good reputation. So you've done something.
Well, there are a lot of musicians.
Right up there.
There are a lot of musicians on the Portland music scene, for example, who have a UMA connection. That they're involved in various bands. You know, not jazz groups necessarily, but indie bands and, you know, really interesting stuff. You know, funk bands, all kinds of things. So, but, you know, they've gotten a background, you know, through going to school up there. And, there are people in Nashville and all over the country, really.
Yeah.
So I hear from them because of Facebook. And it's pretty cool, you know, when you see that happen.
Yeah. So next up we have An Aspect of Things from Statement. And you said this is more of a big band kind of sound?
Well, it's three horns.
There's three horns.
Three horns in a rhythm section. So it gave me a chance to do some writing for three horns.
Okay, so here it is. Thank you. Okay, we're already almost to the top of the hour, so if you have questions, comments, or suggestions, you can check out jazzcloset.blogspot.com. Next week, May 20th, I'm going to have to send in a repeat. I'm going to be out of town. I want to thank Steve Grover for coming on the show. It was really fun having a live guest. And you wanted to tell us about another gig you have coming up at Blue.
Yeah. It's June 4th, and it's with this wonderful saxophonist by the name of Dan Zinn, Z-I-N-N, who's from L.A., but he's originally from Maine. And it's with his trio, with a wonderful guitar player. I think his name is Chris Robinson. And myself. So that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so, and Blue, if you Google Blue, they've got a nice web page with all their gigs and stuff. So we're going to go to the top of the hour with one more tune from Steve's newest CD, Variations, music by Steve Grover and poetry by Anthony Walton. And this is the tune called Space. And thank you, Steve.
Thank you. It was an honor.
Space, great caesura of contemplation, long enough to get lost in, to locate the blues. Space, great caesura of contemplation, long enough to get lost in, to locate the blues. We'll be right back. Sura. Got to play Shan long enough to get lost and to locate those blues. Space, great Sura. Contemplation long enough to get lost and to look.